Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Matthew Koch, and I'll be giving a talk entitled Correlation of Free Salinity Tolerance Screening Methods. So it's important that we study salinity tolerance in turf grass because of increasing pressure from local governments to begin using wastewater as irrigation water on turf grass sites. Wastewater can include effluent water, gray water, and eventually seawater, and this pressure typically comes during times of drought when we want to conserve potable water resources. Salt-tolerant turf grasses could also be used on roadsides where ice-melting salts have accumulated, and also golf courses that have been planted near salt water that incur salt spray, salt intrusion in groundwater, and flooding. So these wastewaters typically have a high level of total dissolved salts in them, and to spray these on most cool-season turf grasses now would cause salt stress injury, poor turf quality, and physiological drought. So this is an opportunity for turf grass breeders to breed new cultivars that are more salt tolerant than what's currently available. There have been a few methods that have been developed to do just this, to screen germplasm. One of the more popular methods is the hydroponic method, where the plants are grown in a salt nutrient solution bath. This does not include foliar applications of the salt water that a typical turf grass manager would experience with overhead irrigation in the field. There's also ebb and flow methods that have been developed. Again, these do not include foliar exposure to salt because the root zone is flooded and then the water is allowed to recede out of the root zone. Overhead irrigated methods have been developed to more accurately mimic what a turf grass manager would see with overhead irrigation. These methods have been developed in the greenhouse and in the field and do include the foliar exposure. So when choosing a method, we want one that is quick, inexpensive, has minimal labor requirements, has the ability to screen large amounts of germplasm, and is also very reliable. So the objective of the study was to correlate three different turf grass salinity screening methods to effectively screen germplasm and compare the efficiency of each of the methods. The first technique we studied was an overhead irrigated greenhouse technique, the second was a hydroponic greenhouse technique, and the third was an overhead irrigated field technique. The first method that we developed at Rutgers was an overhead irrigated greenhouse method, and it employs the use of these spray chambers. As can be seen on the left, this is a spray chamber with a tank underneath where the salt solution is stored. The water is pumped to the top of the chamber and sprayed evenly over the plants that are placed on the lattice below, and then the excess water is allowed to drain back down into the tank. The chambers are then wrapped in plastic to create a completely closed system and allow for recirculation of the water. For the plants, tillers were taken from established turf plots. 8 clones of perennial ryegrass from 5 different cultivars were taken. The cultivars included Applaud, Brightstar SLT, Palmer 3, Paragon GLR, and Nui. They were grown for 4 weeks and then separated into 3 replications. They were then grown for another 4 weeks to allow them to grow to substantial size before we began testing them. When the plants were ready, shoots were cut to 3.8 centimeters and roots were cut to 5.1 centimeters, and they were planted into trays filled with top dressing sand. These trays of plants were then irrigated with 50% Hoagland solution for 1 week using the spray chambers to allow the plants to establish into the trays. We then increased the salt in the tanks at 1 decisiemen per meter each irrigation day using a salt source of Instant Ocean, which is an aquarium salt. They were irrigated every other day, and there were a total of 4 treatments, a control, and then 3 salt treatments at 5, 10, and 15 decisiemens per meter. The total duration of the study was 10 weeks, and the measurements we took were weekly percent green ratings. Every other week, we took dry clipping weights, and at the conclusion of the study, we took dry root and shoot weights, and the entire study was repeated 2 times. On the right, we have pictures at the conclusion of the study showing the control plants on the top, and on the bottom, plants showing significant signs of stress because these are plants that have undergone the highest salt concentrations. The second technique was a hydroponic greenhouse method, and we developed this as a modification of established hydroponic methods that we've seen in the literature. Based upon a previous study that we ran, we took 5 tolerant and 4 sensitive perennial ryegrass clones to salt tolerance. The tolerant clones included 3 Palmer 3s, 3 clones, and 1 Applaud clone, and the sensitive clones included 3 Brightstar SLT clones and 1 Paragon GLR clone. The plant preparation before the study began was the same as method 1, and when the plants were ready, plants were inserted into sponges and suspended in holes of styrofoam board, as can be seen in the pictures. The styrofoam boards were then suspended over water tanks containing 50% Hoagland solution for 1 week to allow the plants to acclimate. The salt level was then increased at a rate of 1 decisiemen per meter per day. The final concentrations were the same as method 1. The salinity and pH of the solutions were checked and adjusted daily. The solutions were changed weekly so as not to allow any of the nutrients from becoming limiting, and the solutions were aerated to prevent waterlogging. The measurements were again the same as method one, and the entire 10-week study was repeated 2 times. And again, we have the pictures on the right of the control plants on top and the plants receiving the highest salt concentrations on the bottom, showing significant stress. Method three was the overhead irrigated field method, and we developed this method to, as accurately as we could, mimic what turf managers would experience in the field with overhead irrigation. The same 40 perennial ryegrass clones as method one were again used. They were separated into one tiller per replicate and allowed to establish in the greenhouse for 4 weeks. They were then planted in the field on 30.5 centimeter spacing between the plants and mowed weekly at 5 centimeters. Three replications were planted in the field and allowed to establish for an additional 4 weeks, after which they were overhead irrigated 3 times per week with a sodium chloride calcium chloride solution with a concentration equaling 10 decisiemens per meter. Half a liter of the solution was then overhead irrigated on each plant on each irrigation day using this pump tank and a flow meter. About 35 total applications were applied to the plants, and the measurements were 4 times per year we rated percent green on these plants. The entire study was repeated for 2 years. On the left, we have a plant that seems to be doing relatively well under these conditions. A plant in the middle is showing significant signs of stress, and the plant on the right is almost completely dead due to the stress. So upon comparing the methods, the analysis we ran was on the high salinity data for all the methods, which was the 15 decisiemen per meter concentration for methods 1 and 2 compared to the 10 decisiemens in the field. And we chose this concentration because it showed the largest differences among the clones. For this presentation, we're only going to present data from the final rating date for percent green ratings. What we found was that all three of the methods were effective in discriminating between the perennial ryegrass clones. However, we did notice that there was a magnitude difference among the methods with respect to the salinity stress, where the plants in method two were not as damaged when compared to the other two methods, methods one and three. In the ANOVA, we can see that method is significant, clone is significant. However, the clones within each of the methods behave similarly, so that's not significant. And on the right, when we look at the methods compared to the average percent green ratings for each of the methods, we can see that the hydroponic method is statistically different from the other two methods, which are the overhead irrigated methods. And we feel that this could be due to the fact that they are overhead irrigated and are further the percent green is further depressed because of the overhead applications. We ran a correlation on the 8 common clones between all three of the methods, and what we found is that the most correlated were the two overhead irrigated methods in the greenhouse and the field, which gave a correlation coefficient of 0.93. We do feel that this could be due to the fact that they are overhead irrigated and do include the foliar stress. The next most correlated were the overhead irrigated field to the hydroponic greenhouse with a correlation coefficient of 0.82, and if we look back at the previous graph, we can see although statistically different from each other, the difference between the average percent green ratings are not as large when compared to the overhead irrigated greenhouse average rating and the hydroponic average rating. And this could be due to the fact that we only use 10 decisiemens per meter in the field applications. And the largest difference between the percent green ratings also gives us the lowest correlation coefficient value of 0.72. We also ran the correlation on the 40 common clones between methods 1 and 3, which gave a correlation coefficient of 0.90, which is not so different from the 0.93 we got from the when we ran it on the 8 clones. So we feel that the 8 clones give us an effective measurement of the correlation of the three methods. Looking at the efficiency of the methods, the first technique was able to screen a large number of plants. We were only limited by the size of the greenhouse we were working in. This can be an expensive method due to the initial chamber construction, which could be a few $1,000s. It's not a very time-consuming method, and it is reliable because it's in the greenhouse and we can't control the environment. Second technique takes up similar space compared to method one. We're only limited by the size of the greenhouse again. Has very minimal construction costs, but it is a more labor-intensive method because of the maintenance of solutions. We can reduce this input with the addition of an automated pH and nutrition control, but this is a very expensive addition. And also, this is a very reliable method because, it is in the greenhouse. The third technique, we were able to screen a very large number of plants. However, the plants are further spaced apart. We were limited by the size of the field we were working in. This is not a recirculating method, so we do have to constantly rebuy the salt, and it is we do have to buy a tank, so this can be an expensive method. It is relatively fast, and it is less reliable because it is in the field and we are subject to changing environments and rain events. So again, we have similar area requirements for methods 1 and 2, with a much larger area requirement for method 3. To run this study, the method 2, the hydroponic method, was the cheapest. However, with further screening, we can reduce the cost of the other two methods. As you can see, in method 1, we've done almost 3,500 plants, and we've reduced that cost. And in the field, we've done over 30,000 plants and significantly reduced that cost as well. The time per plant is a measurement of the plant preparation, the solution preparation, the time it takes to apply the applications and to do the percent green ratings. And we can see that method 1 is the least time consuming, where method 2, due to the maintenance of solutions, is the most time consuming. And with respect to reliability and precision, methods 1 and 2 have very high reliability and precision because they are in the greenhouse, and the plants are very accessible for lots of measurements. And in the field method, these are subject to changing environmental conditions. So we found that all three of the methods were significantly correlated to one another, with similar rankings of clones across the methods. Magnitudes of the stress were different between the methods, and methods 1 and 3 were highly correlated, possibly due to the inclusion of foliar stress, where method 2 did not include this foliar application. Methods 1 and 2 did have similar area requirements, and method 3 did have the highest area requirement because of the spacing between the plants. The techniques 1 and 3 had the highest initial costs because of the purchase of a tank and the chamber constructions, but with further screening we can reduce this cost. Method 2 did require the most labor because of the maintenance of the solutions. Method 3 did have the lowest reliability because it is in the field, but we did design this to most accurately mimic what a turf manager would face. We feel that all of these methods are useful for screening turf grass plants for salinity tolerance, and the chosen method will depend on the time, cost, area available, and the amount of data expected to collect. So I'd like to thank our funding sources, the USGA, the O.J. Knorr Foundation, and the International Turf Producers Foundation. Thank you for your time.
Questions for Matthew?
Lots of questions, most of them I'll ask you later, but one in particular, did you take any measurements of the nutrient status of the plants in your three methods? What I'm concerned about is that because you were changing the solution in the hydroponic system every week, those plants would have been completely replete with nitrogen for the entire study. And if you look at the two papers by Dan Bowman from 2006, he clearly shows that nitrogen level interacts with salinity tolerance. And if you had higher nitrogen in the hydroponic study compared to your other two, that would be a complicated factor.
So the question was, did we look at any of the nutrients for the three methods? The plant status nutrients. We didn't look at that actually, and that's something interesting I think we should look at. We did replace the nutrients every week, so as that way we didn't run into issues with any of the nutrients becoming limiting. So I think it's something we could look at. Yes?
I know you didn't have time to report on it, but did you see differences between the three methods in being able to distinguish the different varieties of product in salt tolerance?
The question was, were we able to distinguish between the varieties with the three methods? We can't distinguish between the varieties themselves because we've only done it on a couple of the clones within this open pollinating species. So we can't report on what the cultivars themselves did. However, within the clones, we did receive similar responses and differences between the clones for all the methods.
One last question.
In the field, could you quickly review the irrigation system, how you irrigated the plants in the field in the work one?
Sure. The question was, can we review how we irrigated the plants in the field? This was at the Adelphia Research Farm, and we used this pump tank. We created the solution with sodium chloride and calcium chloride, 500 gallons at a time, and overhead irrigated with a flow meter and a hose nozzle. Onto each plant received a half a liter of overhead irrigation.